Open up your Bibles with me. Let's go to probably the most used set of scriptures in the Bible today. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 and in verse 10, it says this. Solomon, as he writes, says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." So Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived, or if not the wisest man that ever lived, here he had a lot to say about a virtuous woman. And I know there are those probably that would look around and say, "Well, this woman, she's kind of like a superwoman." And you know, the truth is, most women are. They do a lot. They do a lot for us and take care of us and keep us. And you know, if you think about it, for most women, they do double duty. You know, I've heard men say, "Well, I'd like to just be able to sit at home and not have to work." And I'll be honest with you, I've always favored working over trying to take care of the house. Take care of the kids. Just stay home and babysit sometimes. You know, and if you're just not sure and you think, "Well, that ain't no problem," get you a 2 or 3 year old. Right? Don't try to take care of, you know, a 10 or 11, 12 year old. They kind of take care of themselves to a certain point. But get you a 2 year old, one that's running around and into everything and tying things down. And you got to keep your eye on them at all times, because you just don't know what they'll be into next. You're trying to keep them safe and yet keep them from wrecking the house at the same time. Try cleaning the house for a change. Washing your own clothes. Come on. Amen. Women do a whole lot. Now, that's not to say now times have changed some. Men have finally seen the light and started helping some. Because women have had to end up going into the workforce too and trying to help, just because finances need, you know, the life we live. Now, I'm not going to say it has to be that way. But we've all kind of chosen to live that lifestyle that it takes more than one household, one person in the household working. And so, you know, as Solomon's talking here, he's talking about both, really, the woman's going out and she's doing the same thing the man does. And he said she's a virtuous woman. But there's kind of just a few takes that I want to take out of that. First of all, I want you to see that she loves and takes care of her husband. She loves and takes care of her husband. You know, I know it's kind of, maybe I'm a little eccentric here, but I still believe that the husband is the head of the household, according to the Word of God. And I still believe that he ought to cherish his wife as a trophy, as a gift. He ought to take care of her. He ought to supply for her. But at the same time, I also believe that the woman ought to honor her husband and love him and take care of him. See, because here's the thing, folks. when it all comes down to the end of the thing, and you know, you have the kids and all of a sudden life gets diverted. I always get tickled at some of these couples, you know, once they have their first kid, I always say this, life's about ready to change for them. You know, because when you first get married, it's all about us and we're so in love and we're going to go do this. And maybe at midnight, we'll just take a wild hair and we'll just take off and we'll go somewhere till you have a kid. And then when you have a kid, life is over for a while. To a certain extent, you cease now and their focus is all on them. I'm not saying it's not a good life because having kids is a joy. It's absolutely a joy to have kids. But your attention does have to focus to them. But here's the thing. When the kids, you've raised them right, raised them in the admonition of the Lord, and they get and find their mate and they move off, now all of a sudden, once again, it's you and them. You and your spouse. Now here's the problem. See, sometimes parents put so much into their children that they forget about their relationship with their spouse. So when the children leave off, that's been their life, now all of a sudden they find themselves empty. They don't know what to do with themselves. Well, you see, that's where you've got to understand. Just like you were before you had kids, you need to be that way after you have kids. Come on now. And it's sometimes it's a difficult transition because sometimes you actually have to fall in love again. So you're looking at me. I know you love them, but you need to fall in love again. In that way to where you realize, hey, our life now, it's just us again. And guess what? We may be older, but we can still take a wild hair at 12 o'clock at night if we want to. You know, sometimes Stephanie will call and say, well, where you guys been? And we say, it's none of your business. Right? Right, Pastor? So she'll call and say, well, just exactly where you all at? And she'll say, we're not home. You know, just for fun. We love her. She's not trying to be nosy. She's just wondering where we're at, whatever. But the wife, I still believe that the wife should take care of her husband and love her husband. We're talking about mothers today. It's Mother's Day, and we're talking about a virtuous woman here. I believe that Solomon's saying here that she takes care of her house. I never got an amen. See, one of the things I've kind of found out in through life, I just turned 64 yesterday, so I've been here a little while. One of the things I've found out through life is while you're young and you're fresh and you've just got all this vitality about you, one of the first things that most couples want is we want a house. You know, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. That's an investment that you'll have. But then the next thing they say is we want a big house. And matter of fact, we want a big house with an upstairs. You know, and we want this and we want all these rooms. And it's wonderful. You get the house and it's just, oh, look at our house. Come visit us at our house. Come, we'll have a party at our house. Come and see our house. And you clean it all up and it's pretty and you have everybody and you're showing them off your house. And then you get to be about 50 or 55 or 60 and then all of a sudden, this house. I got to go upstairs and get the clothes in the bedrooms and carry them back downstairs. And I got to go to the utility room and I got to wash the clothes in there. And then I got to gather them up and I got to carry them back up the stairs again. And then all of a sudden you find out you and your husband or wife are looking at each other and say, would you care to go downstairs and get this for me? Or would you care to go upstairs and go get this for me? Because all of a sudden that big, beautiful house, it's still big and beautiful, but it's big. And whether you live in a room or not, it still collects dust. Amen. And so all of a sudden now taking care of the house is a lot bigger chore than it used to be for some reason. Pastorette sometimes says, you know, I used to keep my floors shiny. And she did, man. She cleaned house every day. Every day she was out. And if you keep a house, you've got to pretty well stay after it every day. Well, we're a little older now, and so now we just kind of tag team every now and then to try to, you know, we try to get it cleaned up, and then if it's not, you don't get to come to our house. See, you're laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. That's why you meet people at the door. Right? Stick your head out the door. Yes? Can I help you? Right? Come on. See, we all live in our houses, right? Come on now. you know, the truth is the truth. But I'm from what Solomon's saying here. She loves and takes care of her husband. She takes care of her house. Notice that she takes care of her children. Thank God for a woman that will take care of her children. We live in a world where way too many children are being neglected. We live in a time now where the parents are so wiped out on drugs or whatever else it is that the kids are trying to manage for themselves, and just breaks my heart. I hear stories a lot of times, because we've got a lot of teachers in here, of, you know, the kids and the programs that they have at the schools where they have, you know, they have food and they have places. Like I know for, like in Johnson County for sure, and I'm sure McGoffin County does it too, but Stephanie works there, so I know about it. But if a kid doesn't want something at their meal, like apples and stuff like that, there's a table over there they can put it on. And you hear the stories of the kids that run up, go over there and start putting stuff in their backpack, especially on Fridays, because they want to have something for the weekend. And it's not because the parents don't have availability to stuff. Come on, we have too much welfare in this country for you to say they don't have the availability to it. It's just the fact that it's not utilized the way it should be. And sometimes they take the food that they buy and trade it for drugs. And, you know, it's in a lot of the programs that give away food and do that kind of thing, a lot of times they have to mark tags in clothes or tire out tags in clothes, because if they give the kids new clothes, the parents will take those clothes back to wherever they got so they can get the money so they can buy drugs or whatever else it is they want to do. That's the kind of world. So when we find mothers and fathers that take care of their kids, we're talking about mothers today because it's Mother's Day. Thank God for you mothers that take care of your kids, and kids are your heart. Now, you know, your husband has to be first, because you and he are one flesh. But thank God that there's mothers here, that, and I believe all our mothers do. They take care of their kids. They watch their kids. They're teaching their kids. And then most of all, you're teaching them about the Lord. That's the motive, the greatest thing. And that brings us to the next thing, is the most wonderful thing about what Solomon says is the woman that fears the Lord. You see, a woman that fears the Lord, she's also going to reverence her husband the way that she does, should. And I'm going to tell you, a man that fears the Lord should be reverencing his wife the way that he should. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us if you don't reverence your wife, you don't honor your wife, then your prayers aren't any good. So mothers, take care of your kids, take care of your husbands, take care of your house, and live a blessed life, because blessing comes with that. I want to show you, I'm not going to take a long time with you. I know people got plans, but I want us to go over to the book of Ruth. And I want us to just look a little bit over there, and I want us to see some things in Ruth about some virtuous women here. And in the book of Ruth, we're going to read probably down through verse 22, because I want you to get the gist of what's going on. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Euphrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech died," I'm sorry, Noah, Naomi's husband, "died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-law, 'Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, 'Surely we will return with thee unto thy people.' And Naomi said, 'Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said to them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, I wanted you to get the story, what's going on. Of course, she goes down because of the drought into Moab, gets down there, and her husband dies. Her sons get daughters, and 10 years later, they die. And so she's got her daughter-in-laws. She's returning back to Bethlehem, and she tells her daughter-in-laws, you know, there's no reason for you to go back with me. You understand that tradition would say that if she had another son, that they could marry that son or take him as their husband. And so she's saying, you know, I'm too old to have any more kids. If I had one today, you wouldn't wait around for them to grow up so they could be your husband anyway. And so she says, just go on back, find you a husband, go back to where you came from. And of course, we see that Orpah does. But Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. And where you go, I'll go. Where you die, the God you serve, I'm going to serve. And so she's a woman that has some virtue about her. She has some integrity about her. She's made a commitment to this family, and she's staying there. And so when you get over into chapter 2 then of Ruth, you'll find out that Ruth wants to help. She takes on an initiative, and she tells Naomi, she says, I'm going to go out. And she said, I'm going to go glean in the fields. And what that meant was she was going out to where the harvesters were, and anything that she could pick up, and they would allow them to do that a lot of times, when they would go through harvesting, anything that they missed, somebody else could come along and they could gather that up. So Ruth goes out and she's gathering there in the field, and she ends up in the field of Boaz. Now, Boaz just happens to be a near kinsman to Naomi's husband. And so she's out there. He comes along and he asks who it is. One of his men tells, this is Ruth. This is the one that came over with Naomi, that came up out of her country. And so he tells the men, he says, you let her do whatever she wants to. Let her get what she wants to. Matter of fact, you make sure that she drinks water from your water. You make sure that she eats with you. You take care of her. Matter of fact, he said, you leave handfuls of purpose for her. In other words, what he was saying, make sure on purpose you're leaving stuff behind for her to glean. Now, when she goes and Boaz talks to her, she asks Boaz, she said, why in the world would you do this for me? And I want to pick that up, and I want to just read this here in Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 and 12. It says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Notice here that because of her faithfulness to her mother-in-law and because of her faithfulness to God, Boaz now blesses her and he says, I've heard about you. I've heard about your integrity. I've heard how you've stuck next to your mother-in-law and taken care of her. I've seen how virtuous that you've been. And because of that, the Lord bless you. Notice he didn't say, I'm blessing you. He said, the Lord bless you and you receive a full reward. How awesome is it? You see, here's the thing. God sees things. He knows things that you don't know. And he has plans, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. You get over into chapter 3, and when Ruth gets back and brings all this back, and she said, where in the world did you glean that? And she said, well, I gleaned in the field of a man named Boaz. And she said, well, Boaz is a near kinsman of ours. And so she sees all this blessing, and she says, you know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. He'll be over in the threshing floor tonight, and he'll be over there, and after he's eaten and after he's drunk, he's going to lay down, and when he lays down, I want you to go over there and I want you to cover his feet, lay at his feet and cover his feet. So she does what her mother-in-law tells her. She goes over there, she goes in, she watches where Boaz lays down, she goes and she lays at his feet and covers his feet down, and it scares him. He wakes up and he scares him. It's a woman, you know, there ain't any other women in there. And he jumped, you know, and he said, who are you? And she said, I'm Ruth, Naomi's daughter-in-law, and I've come to cover your feet. And he said, don't tell anybody you're here. But he said, you stay here, and I'm going to take care of you. And she said, well, you're a near kinsman of ours, you know. And he says, well, here you go. And he gives her a big gift to give to Naomi. Now, Ruth doesn't understand, but Naomi does. So when she gets up the next morning before it's daylight, she gets out of there, takes back the gift back to Naomi. It's a whole thing of grain and stuff. And she says, listen, we're going to wait and see what happens here. But I'm going to tell you something. This man ain't going to rest till he settles this matter. See, Naomi realized that that gift was Boaz saying, I want to marry her. I want to marry this woman, you know. And so the Bible says then in chapter 4 that Boaz goes out the gate. And he sits at the gate and he waits until the other one comes. Because when she says, we're near kinsmen, he says, well, there's one that's a little closer kin than I am. And I've got to go talk to him. And so he gets out there and he meets him in the gate and he says, hey, sit down here, man. I got to talk to you just a little bit. He said, you know, Naomi over there, Elimelech's wife, he died, and now it's time somebody's going to have to redeem that property. Somebody's going to have to take care of them. And I wanted to know if you want to buy that property or not. And he said, well, yeah, I'll take that property. He said, oh, by the way, if you take the property, you also got to take her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and marry her and raise up in a heritage to her. And he says, oh, I can't do it then. He said, I can't mar my inheritance by giving it to her. He said, so I can't redeem it. I can't take it back. Well, that was what Boaz wanted to hear. So the Bible says that Boaz bought the land. He redeemed the land and he married Ruth. And he and Ruth are the great grandparents of David. So I started thinking about it. I thought, man, here she goes down. And some things that we can kind of take from this is that, you know, they go down to escape drought. And when they go down there, it's just nothing but trouble. She loses her husband. She loses her sons. And Naomi, matter of fact, from her own words, says, you know, the Lord's mad at me. He's getting back at me. The Lord is doing this to me. Well, you see, the Lord had a plan all the time. And it wasn't to do bad to her, but it was to bring her into a place so that he could bring about David, who would be in the lineage of Christ. See, God's always working all things together for good. Now, I'm not telling you that God killed her husband or killed her sons. What I'm telling you is that God brought Naomi back to the place she needed to be so God could do through her what he needed to do. And so when they came back to Bethlehem, of course, it was just amazing that Ruth ended up in Boaz's field. Of all the people she could have ended up, she ended up in Boaz's field. Anybody think that's a coincidence? Of course not. See, God had a plan. she ended up in that field. And so we see that even though, you know, she's there and she's going through a lot of things, now all of a sudden Naomi has a daughter-in-law that ends up bringing into the world the great-grandfather of David. It's the lineage of David that she's in. And so God used her, even though it didn't look like it was going to happen. Now, as far as Ruth, we look and see that Ruth had a heart for her mother-in-law. It was said by Boaz, "It's known how well you've been." You see, she stayed with her family. So when we look at this, we can see this. We can see that we've got to stay strong in the Lord no matter what. Naomi stayed strong in the Lord. She said, you know, she even let them go, let her daughter-in-law go. I'm going to go back and serve my God. But Ruth says, I'm going to serve your God with you. You see, she took care of her family. And so we see here that you need to stay strong in the Lord no matter what you're going through. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Mother. Some of you go through stuff that there's no way that any of the rest of us could know. And some of you, you know, some of you have children that need more care than other kids do. So you have to see that. I mean, and it's not recognized a lot of times. I you know, some kids are just more difficult than others. Some have maybe some differences about them that causes them to be more difficult. Some of them are a lot like you, and that makes them difficult. Come on, give me an amen on that. Come on. And then, you know, best of all mothers is some of them's like their daddy. And that really gives you a problem, right? Come on now. But people don't see that, you know. They just talk about raising kids and that kind of thing. We were laughing yesterday at Lillian because she was kind of... Lillian is really sharp. I don't know if you get to... She doesn't talk a lot, but if you get around her, man, she's quick. You know, she's got something. She's got a comeback always, okay? And she came at her mother yesterday with a comeback. And she said, "Would you stop? I'm going to whip you if you..." And her mother looked at her, at Stephanie, and said, "Wonder where she got that from." She said, "Well, I guess she got a little me and her daddy. Because if you say anything to Austin, Austin's got it. He's got a head full of useless knowledge. He'll come back at you with it." No, but now he's got a lot of good knowledge. But I mean, he just knows facts about things that just nobody else would even think about. He just got it. You know, it's not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying he's got it. Okay, I better move on now before I get in trouble. You know. They did bless me yesterday for my birthday, so I'll move on. Okay. But anyway, you got to be faithful to family. And you got to see that even though you're going through things, you know, sometimes the kids are going through... And understand that too, mothers, that sometimes your kids are going through things that you didn't go through as a child. We live in different times, and there's different pressures, and it's harder. And sometimes even the things that... You know, I grew up... You know, our family didn't have much money. We grew up, you know, I guess most of my clothes came from the dollar store, I'm sure, or wherever my mom could find them, because she always said I was as big around as I was tall, you know, so she was always quarreling at me because I was so fat all my life, you know. So I grew up with polyester. I think I've told this story many times here. I've been here a long time, so I've been telling stories a whole lot. But Pastor Ed got me in my first pair of blue jeans because, you know, she loved me, but she couldn't stand the polyester. She had to get me. She was changing her man the way she wanted him to be, you know. So she kind of got me over into all that, whatever. But what I'm saying is, you know, we grew up poor, and I saw others grow up, and, you know, they always had something designer on, the latest fads or whatever. But I didn't care because we were happy. We were loved, and we knew we were loved. We always had food on our table, and our parents, even though my sister and I were talking yesterday, I grew up in a family that we didn't say, "I love you." I never told my dad I loved him until he was on his deathbed. And that's sad, you know, but at the same time, we always knew that we loved each other. And we didn't have to be said, we just knew it. I knew my dad and mom loved me, and I loved them, and they knew that. But we've talked about how now we made sure we made that change. And Pastor Eck grew up in a family without a dad. And they always told each other that they loved each other. And it was just a thing they did. And so, see, God put you with the right person and, you know, put me over into the I love you mode. And so now it's just all the time we're telling each other we love each other. We tell the kids we love each other. And Lillian, even every time she says bye, our thing to her is, bye, baby, love you. We always tell her that. You know, we want her to know that she's loved. You know, and she knows it from the way we treat her. But, you know, sometimes kids need that extra affirmation. And it's a good thing for you to tell your kids that you love them. And even if they're a knothead, don't tell them they're a knothead. Come on, because kids can sometimes be a knothead, right? But at the same time, so can you. Right? Come on. And so you got to be careful not to be a knothead in front of them. And teach them how to be a knothead. And then get mad at them because they are. Right? But kids, it is tough. Mothers, I mean, I thank God that you ladies are the ones that had the babies. I just became an uncle again this past week for the second time. And from what I found out, that it took a little while and the epidermal didn't take. And so my niece got to experience some stuff that she never got to experience with the first one. And so, you know, you've come a long way. I'll tell you, medicine's come a long way. And so, you know, if you have to go back to the other way, what a time that is. So I thank God that you guys, and I know you ladies are all the time saying, when we got flu, we act like we're having a baby. Yeah. Men act like they're dying every time they... Well, maybe we are. Maybe it's just too much and pet us too much. But you still love us, don't you? But you mothers, you go through a whole lot. And so I thank God for you. You take care of your husbands. You take care of your kids. Taking care of your family. But the most important thing that we pull out of Ruth is the fact that God has a plan for your life, even if you can't see it. He loves you. He had plans for you. And let me tell you something, mothers. You're raising up children that's the next generation for this church. Did you hear me? God has great things in store here. Amen. And I believe I'm going to live to see it. So your kids, somebody's got to be a pastor here one of these days. Did you hear me? I said one of these days, because I'm going to be like Brother Rick. I'm believing for a long life, and you know, but we got to have somebody to train up. So some of you need to get busy. Get about the business here. Whatever, however it goes, you know, we don't know. You know, God has that plan. But I do know this. I know that we're going to stay faithful to God. We're going to continue to honor our mothers, our women, our kids, and every person that loves Jesus. We're going to continue, and we're going to continue to pray for sinners. Because I'm telling you, I still believe that a great revival is on the precipice right now. And again, it's going to be all kinds. You better get ready, because a lot of those that have not even known God, they're going to find out who He is. And they're going to come in looking strange, talking strange. But we're going to love them like they've never been loved before. We're going to love them like Jesus loves us. And so today, when we get ready to go and go out, I know a lot of you are probably going to go out and try to eat somewhere if you can get into somewhere. I know you're going to try to bless the mothers and all that kind of thing. But I want us to, as we go out, I want us to think about this. Think about how blessed you are to be able to have a mother that loves you that much. Loves you enough to have taken care of you and brought you into the world. And I've heard people say, well, I didn't want to be brought into the world. Well, you were. And you were loved. And now it's our turn to love our kids and teach our kids to love their kids, because we've got to pass down the love of God right on down. God loved us so much that He gave us Jesus Christ, allowed Him to die on a cross so that we could be saved, so that we could receive salvation. Think about that kind of love that God would give up His only Son so that you and I could have everlasting life, so that we could live in heaven with Him. Think about that one for a minute. We ought to take advantage of that. We ought to say, you know what? God allowed His Son to die for me just so that I could make Him Lord of my life and be able to go to heaven. If you've not made Him Lord of your life, I want to ask you, why not? What is it in this world that's so great that you take a chance on spending an eternity in hell, a place that wasn't even created for you, but for the devil and his angels? See, God is a good God, and He loves you enough to make a way for you to be able to come and be in heaven with Him. This morning, I'm going to ask you, would you please choose to make Jesus Lord of your life today? Right now is the perfect opportunity.